You are listening to Central Africa Baptist Radio, your faith radio on 106.9 on the FM band. And this is a special day for the nation of Zambia, for it's a day on which we remember Zambia's independence liberation. In short, we are saying happy birthday to Zambia. As Central Africa Baptist Radio, we want to discuss our responsibility as citizens of this country. And I have with me in studio Pastor Sandale Mwanje, who is assistant pastor at Faith Baptist Church, Riverside. My name is Karen Mukuma. Welcome to the program, Pastor Sandy.
Thank you so much, and happy independence, Mother Zambia.
We are looking at an important day in the life of the country Zambia, and we have titled our discussion, Liberating the Work Culture as Zambia Turns 48 Years. Now, what is the importance of this day?
Well, this day is very important for us as citizens of Zambia. Historically, all of us, we know that we were ruled by Britain. They ruled over us. They controlled the economy of our land. They had the money. And as rulers, they obviously got the lion's share in everything. And an average Zambian was suffering at the time. Now, we must understand that liberty is a gift that God has given to every individual, and every individual to be accountable to God and to God alone. So this day is important because we commemorate the day when our forefathers fought for the freedom that we are now enjoying, at least in some aspects. And so, very important, very important.
You've talked about liberty being a gift from God. Mm-hmm. What attitude should a Christian have towards this day?
Towards this day, a Christian should celebrate and acknowledge that what took place in 1964 was the providence of God. In God's plan, that was the very day when we were supposed to be liberated as a nation from our colonial masters. And, you know, also just to have the right of ownership to this land, to the country called Zambia, because we read in Acts chapter 17 that it is God who appointed where people should live, and he actually set boundaries for them. So really, I think for a person who understands the sovereignty of God, that is simply to say that God rules over the affairs of men, and that God apportions what every person should get in this life. That person should actually be joyful that we got our independence, and therefore celebrate praising the Lord.
So even God acknowledges us to be Zambians.
He does. I mean, he made us Zambians. Mm-hmm. It is him who introduced the various tongues, and that is to say Bemba, you know, Chinese, you know, and if you notice, all these tribes, they're actually grouped in particular lands. Mm-hmm. And they are associated with particular lands. And so for us, it's Zambia. Tonga, Bemba, Lala. I'm Lala, by the way, proudly Lala. I'm proudly Zambian, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful for what God allowed us to have in 1964.
From what you have said, it seems each one of us has a responsibility towards this land of Zambia. 40 years down the road of independence, we have a lot of issues that need to be looked into. Mm-hmm. We have a break in leadership, mm-hmm. like people do not want to be led, mm-hmm. and sometimes we get the wrong leaders, mm-hmm. people are not leading the right way. And when you talk about leadership, usually we're looking at political leaders, mm-hmm. but leadership begins in the home,
yeah,
schools, church. So we are finding a break in these different institutions. Mm-hmm. What could be the problem?
Maybe problems, mm-hmm. not one. Mm-hmm. Several problems. The first one, I would say, it is the wrong understanding of what government is and what government should be doing. Okay? Firstly, beginning with the citizens, there are some who think government should be even slashing their backyard. Okay? They think that government should do everything for them. Now, strictly speaking, government exists to maintain justice in the country, to maintain law and order. The job of providing for one's family, the job for ensuring that my backyard is slashed, for instance, my street is looking nice, that is my job as a citizen. And really, when we're talking about government, we are talking about, it's us, okay? Because in the first place, it's from the community that, you know, we are going to get people who will say, gentlemen, how are we going to divide these resources that we have in this community? And then we'll say, no, let's appoint leaders. We are going to entrust these leaders with these resources, and then these leaders will begin to apportion and to manage these resources on our behalf. Okay? We give them the mandate, we give them the authority to govern us. Okay? So when those leaders go in those offices, they are there to rule on our behalf, not necessarily to rule on our behalf, but to manage these resources for the rest of us. So therefore, even these leaders should have that in mind. But then what we find leaders who go in there not understanding their responsibilities as political leaders. So they go in there to enrich themselves, they go in there to, you know, amass wealth and to get those resources to themselves. But those resources belong to all of us as citizens. Okay? So because of that, you have then citizens who do not trust their leaders. And you have leaders who want to exploit the citizens. As a result, we have this breakdown that that we are talking about, whereby immediately after an election, okay, we vote in a president. Just 2 months, 6 months down the line, we are insulting our president. We are saying all sorts of things. You see, it's coming from a frustration that, you know, we have because leaders have mistreated us. Leaders have not done what we expected them to do as citizens, you see. So there is need, you know, as we clock 48 years of independence, there is need that I think we restore trust in each other, okay? So leaders must calm down, must reflect and understand their responsibilities. You see, that way citizens will also then build up that trust which they should have in a leader. But then the other reason also is that this breakdown is beginning from the family, from the home. Because we need to understand that actually the home is the smallest government that we have, so to say, or that is where the definition of government begins, okay? Because every household that you see is a government on its own. It has a leader there, and the people living under that roof, they all have responsibilities that they attend to. So in a way, everything begins from there. But then what you find in the home is that the father is not there to provide leadership, you know, in the family. He is absent. He doesn't know what the children are doing. You know, the wife is there frustrated with all these responsibilities. And so the children then grow up not respecting that authority, you know, because God introduces us to authority, first of all, under the home structure. Okay. But then if you grow up not respecting that authority, you will transfer that same attitude to the community, and therefore not trusting the highest authority in the land, which is the government, which is the president. You see. So again, if we talk about getting things right, we also need to start from the home. Very important. Fathers should learn to be fathers.
So the home is the foundation of everything. So
exactly.
As we turn 48, let's not just look at the government,
mm-hmm.
but let's look in our own home and mm-hmm. see what we are doing for the country of Zambia. You've mm-hmm. brought out an important point of slashing the grass
mm-hmm.
in your backyard, not throwing litter by the roadside.
Mm-hmm.
And expecting a vehicle called government to come and pick up on that litter that you are busy throwing out of your car window or the taps that you are vandalizing, mm-hmm. because we all have a responsibility in this country.
Mm.
Now, we have titled our discussion Liberating the Work Culture.
Mm.
What can you say about the work culture 48 years down the line?
It's terrible. And maybe let me start with the education system itself, okay? When we look at our education system, when our parents put us in school, you see, our schools do not train us to have the skills that will enable me to work and develop my nation. Really, our educational system is tailored in such a way that I need to pass my exam and get a good job and get a good money. All right? Nothing really is in our education system. Well, let me not say nothing, but you see, very little is in our education system that trains a citizen to have the skills necessary to transform, to develop this nation. Okay? So many primary schools these days, okay? Go in there, ask several questions, look at their syllabus, their curriculum, and what they are doing, even when they are advertising. Okay? Listen to most of the adverts. They will, for instance, boast of 100%, pass mark or pass rate, they'll talk about exams made easier. Okay, I'm not, talking about any particular individual here. But, this is the way that would even advertise our schools. It's all about passing an exam, okay? But is that all that there is to education, really? Okay, so you'd find this person goes into secondary school, and again, the aim, the mentality is not really to understand the material and how the things that we are being taught from schools, how they apply in the real society, and how I can use that knowledge to change the real society. It's about getting in the knowledge, again, the focus, so that I can pass my grade 12 exam. Okay, so you go in again in the university, and all you want is to pass all your assignments, to pass the exam, get a job, and have the money. Okay, and I only got that job, not necessarily that, I can do certain things, I can transform the environment, but because I got good grades. Okay? That's why Karen, 48 years of independence, we still have to hire companies from South Africa to come and make our roads. We still have to hire the Chinese to come and do certain bridges for us. But every year we are graduating engineers. Every year we are graduating, mechanics and name them. Okay. So then what's wrong? We begin to ask the question, what is wrong? And don't tell me we don't have the resources, we don't have the money. We do have the money. Okay, for some of these companies that we hire, we pay them a lot of money. Okay, a lot of money that would actually enable us to buy those very equipments that they have. okay, if we were patient enough, and then use our own people to transform this nation. Okay, now talking about the work culture, still in the education sector, the issue of leakages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it seems that a grade 12, even a grade 9, this time around, okay, they can only pass or have that grade, since the focus is just on getting the grade. Okay, so they want to know exactly what the examiners put in the paper. Okay, they don't want to understand the material. They simply want to know what the examiners put in the paper. They get that and cross the bridge. That's why people get a leakage reading. It's a shortcut. I don't want to spend the time to study, to understand all this stuff. I simply want to cross the bridge. And what is so saddening is that some parents are involved in getting these leakages for their children. Or a child would come to say, oh, mommy, someone is selling a paper, and they would release 1,500,000 to go and acquire that leakage. Okay? Teachers, you see, people who are supposed to be discouraging these very things we are talking about, they are the ones who would now want to make profit out of this situation and get these papers into the hands of these children. Okay, headmasters, people are supposed to be the custodians of the educational system and not so much to fear the exam, but to look at the exam as an opportunity to test what was imparted in the child or in the children. But you see, since they are also just focused on passing the exam, they are willing to sell some of these papers. Okay, so what you have therefore is a work culture that begins from school and comes into the industry. And I'm therefore going to talk about these elements in the industry, how we now just see them practically in the industry.
So the shortcuts that we complain about, the corruption that we complain about, we instill it in the minds of young people.
Yep.
When we allow them, if you as a parent will buy that paper,
mm-hmm.
if you as a parent will tolerate your child looking for a leakage,
mm-hmm.
you tolerate your child not putting in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it begins from.
That's where it begins from. You know, sometimes parents don't realize that it is small things that in the future become so big, okay? If you let that junior of yours steal sugar or steal 100 kwachas, okay? Now, he's only stealing 100 kwacha because he's only 3 years old, he's young, okay? But here's what's going to happen when junior is older, is in the industry, is an accountant, he will now steal billions, okay? So when we talk about work culture, it's something that has to be developed over time. It's something that has to be uprooted from the roots, from down going up. Yeah.
Now let's discuss the industry, the work culture in the industry. We've looked at the education system and the things that are happening 48 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's discuss the industry. What is happening?
Oh, let me do this. Let me simply, first of all, discuss with the listeners and us the elements that need to change in our industry, or, issues that we need to liberate, okay, concerning work culture. The very first thing is the issue of time, okay? And somehow we even comfort ourselves to say, Zambian time, okay? It's everywhere. At church, you announce church should begin at 10 hours. People will start coming in, 5 minutes after, 15 minutes after, and unbothered whatsoever that they are late. Now, you know, God does everything in time. Okay? We are told in Galatians that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the fullness of time. That is to say, at the appointed time, the time that God had set. All right? When God was creating the world, He created the world within a specified period of time. So I would love to believe that God works within time. And I think we should learn something from there. Okay? What we must understand is that the time we lose, if we lose a minute, we've also lost a minute of development. Okay? Because time waits for no man. If, say for instance, they give you and I, okay, a piece of work. Let's say they give us to sweep this room. Okay? And I come in, I look at other jobs that I need to do outside there to make money. Okay? So, I get the broom and I sweep this room because I know I need to do something afterwards. So within 5 minutes, I'm done. Okay? And then you, because you have grown up believing time is not an issue, Zambian time, you take 30 minutes sweeping this same room. Now what's going to happen is this. If they're going to pay us, I will get my 20,000 kwacha here, because they said if you sweep this room, they'll give you 20,000 kwacha. I will get my 20,000 kwacha from here, but because I finished within 5 minutes, I will find time to go and do something else and get more money. Okay? Whilst you are still in that room for the 20,000 kwacha and you knock off. Okay? Really, that's where the principle of development lies. Okay? So you'd find, therefore, that because I used my time wisely, efficiently, and I did what I could do a lot in the given time that I was given, I have a bigger return than a person who wasted time. Okay, so really the issue of time is tied in to the development. So as our friends in the West are really doing everything in time, and that's why some of them would have 6 jobs, okay? And everything is locked into time. As we are doing everything within time, we are busy wasting time here. And therefore, our development is also what? Behind. Let me give you several things in the industry that we observe. You go in a bank, for instance. Okay? You've left work here. You are the station manager here for Central Africa Baptist College. And that person in the bank will behave, or rather they behave as though, because I think this is happening, so we need to be straightforward about some of these things. Mm-hmm. They'll behave as though people in there, they do not have anything to do. And so this person will be talking on the phone, and it's not work related. Meanwhile, people are waiting on the queue. Okay? Or he would be talking to a fellow employee, just about, you know, some not work related stuff. Meanwhile, people are waiting on the queue. But you see, some of the people waiting on the queue, some are what? Nurses. Maybe they got only 1 hour from work to say, let me rush to get some money or to sort out this issue and be back to attend to the patients. But because of the work culture in the bank, this nurse ends up spending 2 hours or 3 hours in the bank. Okay? And the 2 hours that he has spent in the bank, there is something that is suffering somewhere. And everything is so tied up to what? To development. Okay. Even when you visit the hospital, they should realize that you have something to do. You've left something. And so, if they attend to you in the quickest possible time, then you go back and attend to the other issues that in turn, when all these things are put together, our nation will be developing. Because some people who will come to visit your hospital will perhaps be, you know, a person who's constructing the road to Solwezi, but is not feeling well, so he wants attention. And if you attend to him in the shortest possible time, he'll go back to his job, and that road will move at a faster pace. But you see, we don't realize all those things. Okay, you visit a government office, sometimes just for a date stamp. Okay, this person tells you wait. Okay, so again, it is, you know, this mentality where we think he has the time, okay, or she has the time, and therefore I can tell them wait and be busy doing something else, and most even things that are not work related. Okay, so time. Then the other element, I don't know if there's anything or something I've left out on the issue of time that you'd have loved to me to emphasize. Okay, so I don't know if you are seeing how these issues are tied into to development or the issue of time.
Yes, I am.
You know? So we need to change in that area. Maybe before I go to the next element, I need to emphasize this point. We need to change in this area. We need to, you know, start appreciating, first of all, that time is a gift from God, and we have very limited time, actually, okay, to be on earth. We live on borrowed time, you know, and we shall be judged. We need to remember that. God has given every person, he has given every person certain abilities. And in the Bible, we are told of a parable where people came to account for the talents that God has given them, you know. And I'd even say that the person who made so much, that person used the time wisely. You know, he utilized the gifts, but again, operating within time. You know, this issue of time, I think I've put a few examples here. Bus drivers, okay? You are going for work, okay? And so you're supposed to jump on this bus. They don't care at all. Okay, now obviously, yes, they are working as well. But there should just be that appreciation of things ought to be done within time. Okay, and if they delay you, you know, certain people they delay have very key positions in this country, and if you delay them, you actually take away from our development. You know, I visited one nation, and I was so impressed by the way these bus drivers operate. Really, they don't wait for the passengers along the way. Okay, they pick you up from a particular station. And along the way, it's just one way. You drop. If a person is getting on the bus, you know, they can get them on the bus. But if they are far away, they wouldn't even wait for them. You know, they would go like that. And I was saying, surely, if us as Zambians can learn, you know, just to appreciate the gift of time, I think would go very far. And also attitude to work itself. Okay, there's just a laissez-faire kind of approach, attitude to work, you know, where even the work that they have given you, you don't care about excellency at all. You know, you just do it because you need to be there, and you're doing it in such a way that you're showing everybody, I'm just waiting for my salary. Okay? You work in the hospital, for instance, you're a nurse. I mean, a nurse is supposed to be taking care of the patients. But she goes in there and sits in this office, and they start chatting with friends. When the patient calls for help, they actually shout at the patient. Okay. But I mean, you went for work. That's your work. Okay. Priority ought to be given to your work, the patient. Okay. I'll talk about teachers. Okay? Instead of, you know, teaching the children, this teacher would go to see a friend in the next classroom. And they would start chatting. Okay? And kids are making noise, and then maybe she would go back because she's afraid that the head teacher might hear what's going on. And then she would say, "Can you remove your books and start reading?" Okay? And then she goes out again and continues the conversation with a friend. So we should learn to respect work. We should, you know, view it as something that is important, you know, something that I was trained for to do, and something that I need to do. Okay? We should actually, you know, the Bible says, "He who does not work, let him not eat." We should, Paul would also say this, you know, telling the Thessalonians, he said, "I refused to eat the bread of idleness." Okay? Well, what's the bread of idleness? It is where I've not done anything and money is given to me. That's the bread of idleness. I should account for the money. Okay? If you give me, you know, 1 million, what's the 1 million for? Okay, now I'm not saying you can't get gifts and all, but I should feel that I deserve this money. Okay, and not to eat the bread of idleness. If you are a Christian and you are eating the bread of idleness, you are sinning. When you get your salary, you should actually feel that you worked for it.
The point you've raised on attitudes goes down even to the lowest job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we'll term is the lowest job, but that's the job that God has brought your way.
Yeah.
Maybe you have just this small job that you're doing.
Mm.
You are called to responsibility and to account for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We find, for instance, if somebody's building, they're given to build something, they'll choose, instead of putting 10 bags, they'll choose to put 5,
mm-hmm.
meaning that that's 5 bags of cement, meaning that the structure is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it might not be overnight, but mm-hmm. over a period of time, you will notice that.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to see that
mm-hmm.
in most of works that are done on, let's say, roads. You find a road has been worked on.
Mm-hmm.
A year later,
mm-hmm.
you have potholes. Then you find this thing has been built. The next time, it's got a crack. You don't even know how that came about.
Yeah.
So that the attitude works in all those areas, I believe.
Yes, in all those areas that you have mentioned, you know. So we need to deliberately say every ngwe, every, you know, kwacha that is that I receive, okay, in the area where I'm called to work, I should earn it. You know, I should deserve it. And, you know, the only reason why someone would say you give them one pocket of cement to produce a certain number of blocks, okay, the only reason why someone would put maybe half a pocket and then give you blocks that are not well made, They want to have the money that they did not work for. You know, they want to have the money that they did not work for. And it's this, you know, for instance, if you do a road that is not up to the standard, that is shoddy, what will happen is 2 years down the line, or even 1 year down the line, because we've also seen these things where a road, you know, just within a year, they are redoing the same road. Instead of, you know, in the other year, focusing on another road, you go back to the same road. Okay? So, we are failing to develop as a nation because of the work culture. And if we are to develop, and if we are going to have something to boast about in the coming celebrations, as we turn 49, as we turn 50, I think we need to change our work culture. Okay.
Earlier you talked about the home, the family being the foundation.
Mm.
So even in the right attitudes towards work and right attitude towards life, the foundation is the home.
It is. It is. It is. It's in there. You see, for instance, where are thieves manufactured from? Okay, it's not the government that manufactures thieves. Okay, the government just builds cells so that when the home manufactures a thief, then they can lock them up for you because you failed to train your child. Okay, where are prostitutes manufactured from? It is from the home. Okay, that's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the biggest responsibility that homes have is to train. Because even the same politicians that we are complaining about, they are corrupt and ABCD, they came from a home structure.
Mm-hmm.
They were trained under some parent of some sort. Okay, so it is the home that manufactures responsible citizens. It is the home that manufactures thieves. It is the home that manufactures prostitutes. Okay? So, it really needs to start from there. Because as I said earlier, the home is the smallest unit or the smallest government that we have. Okay? I would have also loved to talk about the issue of, bribe and corruption. Okay, in a way I've already touched on these things, but if you're going to be bribed, for instance, instead of someone following the normal procedure of getting a driver's license, because you're an officer who is in charge of that department, they bribe you. You know these shortcuts that started all the way from grade 1, grade 12, okay? So even when you come to a stage where you need to get a driver's license, you want to use a shortcut, and this person receives a bribe. You know, they give you that fake driver's license. But people will lose lives. Innocent people will die. You know, because you've permitted someone who's not qualified to be on the road. Okay? So all these things have consequences. And really, what are we saying when we say, let's celebrate our independence? Let's remember where we are coming from. We told Britain we want to rule ourselves so that we, the indigenous people, can benefit from these resources, can develop ourselves. Okay? Britain gave us the power, but it seems we are slaves of our own, you know? And so the biggest task that we have right now, really, even as we celebrate 48 years of independence, is that I think we need to be free from ourselves, okay? We need to break the chains of laziness. We need to break some of these attitudes that I talked about. And then we shall enjoy this independence that we are talking about. Most Zambians I've met, and I thank God for our national team winning the AFCON Cup, because somehow I think the idea of patriotism, you know, retained in the country. But you see, most Zambians that I've met, they are not proud to be here. You know, why? It's difficult to live in Zambia, okay? And sometimes for the work that you do, you do not receive an equal pay. You have to sweat for the money. Now, sweating is good, but when you sweat, you should get the return as well, the right return. But in Zambia, you can sweat and get nothing, okay? And so because of that, it is difficult to be patriotic on an empty stomach. But then the people to change everything, it's not Britain again, it's us. And in a way, that's what we are doing, you see. In a way, that's what we are doing when we are calling in all these investors. You know, we are simply saying, look, we have failed to manage this. Come and manage it on our behalf. Okay? Now, I'm not saying investors shouldn't come. But I'm saying we should begin to think and to critically think. It's so that even when we are calling in the investors, we strike a fair deal that still leaves us proud, that still, you know, maintains that Zambian dignity that we are a sovereign state.
Of late, we've seen incidents where young people, maybe in schools, have gone amok and broken school infrastructure because they're not happy about a particular thing. Is it important to teach young people patriotism?
Very important. Very important. Firstly, you know, just that sense of belonging. Okay, before we can even talk about what you have, and this is why I would really love to emphasize that we have something to celebrate about. Just the fact that we have political independence. We have something to celebrate about. And just the God-given right to belong to this land, to this nation called Zambia. Okay? So therefore, when the security of my nation, for instance, is threatened, as a patriotic Zambian, I should do something about it. Okay, meaning I have the responsibility to defend this land from the enemies, from the outsiders. Okay? I also have the responsibility, therefore, to protect what is in here. I should not be the one to vandalize. I should not be the one to steal streetlights. I should be protective of the resources of the development within. Because, you see, by the end of the day, you know, those are things that are there for my good, for my benefit. And when a visitor comes, I'll be proud to show him how our streets are lit. You know? But if I'm going to break things, if I'm going to vandalize, destructive behavior really does not add to the development of the nation. We lose when we become destructive. No one gains, really. Okay? Even if you want to behead, you want the government to hear you, what do you gain by destroying something? I just fail to get that logic. You don't gain anything because in the first place, the person in State House is probably enjoying the comfort, he has certain privileges. And so the person who really suffers when public infrastructure is destroyed, it's still the common man, the citizen of Zambia.
Now let's look at what could be called a pillar of a nation, and that's the ministry of the church. Mm. What can you say about it 48 years down the road?
The church in Zambia, I would say that I think we have made, now I'm just speaking generally as a Zambian church, I think we have made good progress as a church. And I'm saying this, perhaps we've not made the progress that we should have made, but I think there's good progress. I'm saying this because we do see Zambian pastors, for instance, being invited to speak overseas, okay? And certain Zambian pastors are really, you know, preferred worldwide because they are preaching the word. They are bringing out the substance, okay? We have also seen certain elements in the church that they kept as gospel truth. For instance, some years back, Okay, just, you know, a woman doing her hair in a certain way, going to the salon, you know, normal payment, things like that. They would consider, you know, that woman to be a prostitute. And but I think the church has grown, you know, through some of those issues. Generally, I'm just speaking generally. On the other hand, the church has not been so helpful, or maybe let me say some churches have not been so helpful in voicing out. Okay, even in times where a political leader, for instance, wanted genuine help in terms of advice from the church, but because some pastors are really after the money and not after God's work, they gave some of our leaders wrong advice. Okay? I think there was a time when we saw several pastors being paraded on TV, you know, campaigning for a particular, you know, political leader, and really just making it so clear that they've received a brown envelope. Now you see, when you do that as a church, you make your presence in this land not to be effective. Okay? Because, you know, the church should be a pillar and fountain of truth in the land. Okay? So if therefore the pastors, if therefore certain, you know, churches participate in, you know, politics where they show it that they are supporting this candidate, we lose it as a church, because as a church we are there, you know, to speak out God's mind, regardless of the consequences. Okay, whether people will like the message or not, but if this is what God has said, we need to voice out. Okay, and sometimes the politicians might not like what we have to say, but we need to voice out. Okay, so I would say that in the 48 years of independence, I would actually criticize some churches. We need to go back to our job, and that is to preach the gospel, to liberate people spiritually. In fact, that is the greatest independence that someone could ever have. It is to be liberated spiritually, and that should be our main task as a church. The government has also been appointed, you know, to develop, to look after our physical well-being as citizens. But the church is there to look after our spiritual lives. Okay, so basically, Sister Karen, I believe in the separation of the church and the state. Okay, so that's basically what I would have loved to say there.
And still talking about the church, sometimes we see the church being retrogressive. For instance, if we have issues of disease, we found the church terming certain diseases and preaching that they can cure certain diseases, and where God has provided medicines, stopping people from medication. Isn't that retrogressive in 48 years?
That's actually not correct. Okay. You know what we need to understand is first of all that God is not against certain institutions like the hospital. Okay, in the Bible we have people who are trained in medicine. Okay, for instance, Dr. Luke. Okay, so it is God who gave us these minds, the intelligence for the, you know, those of our friends who are gifted in that area to go study medicine and combine a few drugs here and there to cure certain things. I consider that to be God's work, you know. So therefore, if it's God's work, then definitely God would have us use some of that wisdom. Okay, there's a reason why that wisdom is available for us. Okay, so if someone is going to tell people to say, don't use drugs, ABCD, where are they getting that message from? And I think this is also one encouragement I would want to give to the pastors out there, or to those who feel God is calling them into the pastorate. I think they should take some time to study the Bible. Okay? If you can, go to a Bible school, a good Bible school again for that matter. Okay? Go to a Bible school, learn the whole counsel of God. Learn the whole counsel of God. Understand issues in a broader sense. Okay? Because, you know, some pastors are so narrow-minded, really. And they are very irritating, I must say. Okay? So there's need, I think, for a pastor to be, you know, broad in understanding issues, and also to know what God has said from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Some pastors have not gone beyond Luke. They have not gone beyond Mark. They have not gone beyond the Gospels. But the Bible is from Genesis to Revelation. So I think that's the way I can answer that question.
If, as we conclude the program, if someone's listening and they have heard all the points you have brought out towards responsibility, towards work, responsibility in a family, and they think it's just a difficult thing for them, they fail to be accountable. Mm. What would be your advice to such a person? What is the first step in being able to? I know no one is able to fully achieve this, but what is the first step?
The very first step is for you to acknowledge that you are a sinner who, without God, you can do nothing. You are a sinner who needs to be liberated, actually, from that sin. Okay, so the very first step is that you need to come to Jesus, because he died for you, and that is to say, he died to liberate you from sin and from the consequences of sin. So come to him, confess your sins, and believe that only he is able to save your soul completely. Only he is able to rescue you from your sin and from the consequences of hell. Okay. When you receive that personal liberation, or maybe to call it spiritual liberation, it will be easier for you to conquer some of these bad habits or some of these sinful elements that we talked about. Because true, genuinely, as you said, some people, They've acknowledged that some of the things they are doing are wrong, but they just don't have the strength to stop. Someone is saying, I'm a prostitute. Yeah, the other day I was reading this story in the paper. This person was saying, I'm sleeping with my brother. I know it's wrong, but I can't stop. We can't stop. Yeah, you can't stop. You need Jesus to break those chains. Someone there is a thief. Okay? Someone out there has, you know, just that destructive element, nature. They want to break the street lights. It's sin. You need Jesus to come and break those chains. And so, the very first question, perhaps, and the very important gift that you can give to yourself, this independence. Believe in Jesus. Let him liberate your soul.
Pastor Sandy, I would like to thank you for having found time to join us on this program today.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to an Independence Day special program, and we were looking at liberating the work culture. I had with me Pastor Sandala Mwanje from Faith Baptist Church, Riverside, here in Kitwe. To Zambia, we say happy 48th birthday. My name is Karen Mukuma. Pleasant listening.